The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Wow, we're less than a week away now from Christmas. Welcome to Buckmaster for Thursday, December the 19th, 2019. We broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. All of our programs available through the podcast system 24/7. It's your schedule. You decide when to listen at buckmastershow.com. If there's something that you would like to add to the program, a question, a comment, you're welcome to call us at 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line to newly reelected Tucson City Councilman. He's a Democrat representing Ward 2, Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
This is our first visit, Paul, since you were reelected to another four-year term. Would you like to say thank you to the voters of Tucson?
Of course. Really want to thank everybody who and the messages of support over the last few weeks, and people who volunteered on the campaign, people who just voted for me in general. You know, we had a really fortunate result this time. We have a sometimes considered controversial, but we have a hybrid election system in the city, in where we're elected citywide, but wards were divided into wards for primaries, and then were elected citywide in the general election. And it comes under some discussion. One of the things I've always said is that one party may want to argue, depending on which party is the stronger party in that community, want to argue it puts the minority party at a disadvantage. But on the other side, it makes a harder working public servant, because you're balancing all your votes both citywide and within the area you represent. The previous two elections, I had not actually come out on top in Ward 2, but I did this election by a pretty substantial number, so I was really honored by that.
How do you like the makeup of this council right now with Rahino Romero as mayor?
It's a little too early to tell. I think right now it's great. Obviously, everybody's wonderful. You know, you're going to say that at the beginning, but it's really too early to tell how the dynamics are going to change. Let's let the two newer council members get their feet wet a little bit. And I remember coming in, you're just less comfortable because it's new. It's like any new job. And once you're in the swing of things a little bit and have been around the block a couple times, your perspectives change and usually get better and wiser. So we'll see kind of how all that goes. But I think we've got great people on the council. I think we have people who care about Tucson on the council. So I think that's good. We'll see kind of how where the dynamics take us and what kind of agenda we run over the next year.
Everybody's all, of course, on the same page with the first couple of meetings, right? So it's going to have to sort out.
Yeah, it takes a minute. I mean, I think everybody has their vision and their goals for the community, and I think that all of our goals and priorities are valid and important, but it's really how we get there and how we rank our resources, really how we prioritize our resources, and I think that will give us the best understanding of where we're going to be headed in this next decade.
Do you like this idea that the developers are talking about converting the first 8 floors of the 23-story building at 1 South Church, which was built in the mid-1980s? It's still Tucson's largest building. This would be hotel, restaurant, meeting space on the first 8 floors. Do you like that idea?
Well, I think all ideas have merit. I think that when buildings were built 30, 40 years ago, they were built with certain things in mind. And a lot of people didn't know that we'd have a World Wide Web where you'd be able to order groceries at the click of a finger and they'd be delivered directly to your house. Not only that, it's not even a click of the finger. It's a movement of your thumbs because you don't have to be at a computer at your house to do it. You can literally do it from your phone in Paris. You can't tell me you knew that was coming.
No, I didn't.
You know, I grew up in the 1980s, man. I was using typewriters in sixth grade. I mean, come on. I was going to the library and actually checking out books and going through, you know, hey, that's the 1985 world book, but the 1986 world book's coming in tomorrow. You want to use that one. You'll get better updated information. We have Wikipedia. So, you know, when you look at this stuff, it's amazing. So one of the things that we've outgrown, you know, you outgrow certain things. You outgrow buildings. You outgrow jumbo jets. You outgrow, you know, society is going to change the technological needs, the transportative needs. All those needs in society change. And you have to think about those things linearly, and that includes buildings. Quite frankly, Tucson hasn't taken the brunt of that. If you look at cities in the Midwest where they've literally had to reinvent themselves,
right.
They've taken closed shop, abandoned. I think at one point during the bottom of the recession, 178 abandoned shopping malls in Ohio alone.
Oh yeah,
it was nuts.
Yeah.
So those type of things are antiquated. So to find a new purpose for this building totally makes sense. Because obviously the rental space is unneeded. People can work from home. We're going to see these service type conversions where, hey, it's not going to be necessarily an indoor retail space. It might be an indoor recreational space, or it might be an indoor services space, or it might be an indoor storage space for people for extra storage. There's all these different kind of reassigning of these spaces, and that's what's going on worldwide. It isn't unique to Tucson, and I think that's great that the ownership group and the conglomerate that controls One South Church are willing to say, hey, let's adapt to the times. Let's think outside the box, and let's try something else. I'll totally endorse that. I think that's great. That's the type of thinking we need to be successful as a community.
Ali Farhang will be joining us, Paul, at 12:30 to talk about the upcoming Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is really moving up in stature in the bowl picture, isn't it?
Well, the big thing was 2 years ago we got New Mexico State. They hadn't been to a bowl game in like 27 years or something, 37 years. Not only that, they're only, you know, a 3-hour drive. The whole town of we became Las Cruces Junior that week because the entire city showed up. The crazy thing was there was another 10,000 people from Albuquerque down here.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it was that New Mexico won on the last play of the game. So it was a pretty amazing experience. And I'm at work and my radio just went off. I had to turn it down.
Yeah.
That experience for New Mexico in Las Cruces went around and said, hey, the Arizona Bowl is a great experience.
Right.
Not only that, they got a new television contract. And you got to hand it to Ali and John. John Volpe's the other kind of brain guy behind this. This is really Ali's thing, though. Ali is one, a big football fan, which makes him a great guy for me because, you know, lots of people love football. But the other thing is Ali's a great Tucsonan, and he cares about the vision of Tucson, and he's taken the, you know, why not Tucson having a bowl game? You can't coach weather. You either have it or you don't. Well, we've got the weather. I mean, we have our few cold days a year, and one of the real bummer about the Arizona Bowl was our second year of the bowl game. I think the year before the New Mexico one, it was really cold that week. It was the week we were really below freezing, and it wasn't a very well-attended game. I remember Los Lobos was literally shivering when they were performing.
Yeah, that one, I think the high was only 32 or something.
Yeah, it was just a rough situation. But the year later, we had one of our more successful things, and there's not other cities that can promote 60-degree weather during the day. Mm-hmm. During bowl season. And here's the cool thing about this. With the new contract with CBS Sports Network, we've got the day game. We're playing at 2:30 on December 31st, which is, hey, get off work early, go enjoy some good college football, go enjoy some fellowship, and then after the game's over, there's plenty of time to go down and party downtown. Bottom line is I'd love to write a little memo to Larry Scott in the Pac-12 and tell him to give us some 2:30 kickoffs for the Wildcats.
That would be a huge difference with attendance, I think. We've got to get some of those afternoon games again. It's just too late, the way the schedule is. And, of course, Ali's done this Sugar Skulls indoor football. They're going to be back here for another season.
Like I said, he's a person that, you know, as we've all come up, we've all known each other for 20 years, Ali, me, John, Paul, all those guys. John's little brother, Paul, is another great guy. We've all known each other for 20, 30 years, or known of each other, playing on different teams or being in different Boy Scout troops or being in different whatever. It's kind of just evolved. We're all doing things where it's not just about making your way anymore. It's about making your community's way. And I think that as we keep having people taking ownership of the community to make it better, our community becomes better. And this is a really good example of that.
All right. Stick around, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. We'll get an update about what's going on with those e-scooters after we take our break. But right now, Paul, I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. This is the busiest week of the year for sure up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Paul, are you still with us? I want to ask you about pie selections.
Well, if you're going to go chocolate cream, I can vouch, but
I don't know if we're going to go that route. What about these choices? Pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan. What will your choice be for Christmas?
Well, for me, I've always got an apple pie.
Okay.
It's just one of those things, especially when it's warm.
Right.
And you put the vanilla ice cream in it. But the trick is you've got to get the warm apple pie and the crust and the vanilla ice cream and the whipped cream all at the same time on one fork load.
Mm.
And then that's when you get the true mix of those flavors and they burst. It's awesome.
Yeah, that is the delivery system, isn't it, on the fork to try to get them all together. Another quick question for you. Of course, Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. That certainly sounds Christmassy, doesn't it? How about a Kringle in traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan? Paul Cunningham, your choice, please.
Well, I'd say the cherry cut. You can't go wrong with cherry custard at the holidays, man. I mean, it's totally a winner, especially the Danish Kringle. But the thing about about Mona's Danish Kringle is you can go all year.
Getting
a good deal.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they're doing dinner rolls, too, right now. Put in your order, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Steve, chief baker and owner, would be happy to accommodate you. They're having a great Christmas season. We're sending a lot of our listeners up there for breakfast in the morning, lunch, of course, and everybody's been ordering for the holidays. Be right back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, what a great partner they've been for the Buckmaster Show. And this, of course, like Mona's, very busy time of year for Green Things. Everybody's doing kind of last-minute holiday decorating. Yes, they still have poinsettias for you over on the 13-acre site in every imaginable color. Check it out. All that great merchandise available at Zocalo, which was for years over by Country Club and Broadway. They're part of the Green Things family on site over there on East River Road. All that furniture, hand-carved, much of it, Mexico, Latin America, Europe. So here are a couple of websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. We continue our discussion now with Tucson City Councilman, newly elected, re-elected Councilman, Democrat Ward 2, Paul Cunningham. I was just sitting here during the break reflecting about your father. I came to town in 1988 in January, right at the midst of, oh man, that was crazy time. The governor of Evan Meekum was being recalled. And I remember your father, George Cunningham, who served a long time up in the legislature. He was one of my first interviews. I was just reflecting about how he's doing. He served several governors, including chief of staff to Rose Mauvert. How is your father?
Well, I had a great conversation with him last night, and he has, you know, he founded a centrist think tank, the Grand Canyon Institute. And what it is, you know, we've gotten away from realistic discussion in this country. Discussion is tainted, and it isn't giving facts. It's everybody accuses the other side of having an agenda. My father started the Grand Canyon Institute. It would have board members, both Republican, Democrat, and Independent, and it would basically publish papers about policy regarding Tucson, Phoenix, and Arizona that would not be tainted. It would just be just the facts. Just, hey, this is what it'll do. These are the good things it may do, and these are the bad things it may do, and that's the analysis, and you know, go from there and make it a priority on whether or not this is important. And it's actually profiled a lot more in Phoenix, mm-hmm. but it was kind of the answer to the, it started as the answer to the Goldwater Institute,
yeah,
which published, the data was tainted. In other words, they had an agenda on what they were trying to do instead of just trying to bring the facts out and what was good government. And that's what we're missing, and having good government is what is essential to society advancing. And so that's something that my dad has dedicated his life to. My grandmother and my father and my whole family, they believed in essentially good government. Doesn't have to be a big, expensive government. Doesn't have to be a government run on the cheap. It just needs to be good government that makes good decisions. And that's the philosophy I live by.
How's he doing?
He's doing really well. Like I said, he's doing really well, and he's active, and he is an avid fan of the Arizona Wildcats. He is now also an avid fan of the Kellogg Cougars because that's who my son plays for.
So okay, well, give him his thing. Give him my regards, will you please?
Absolutely.
All right. What's going to happen with the e-scooter? Are we going to pull the plug on that soon here?
We're going to try a couple things first. I think there's some opportunity to be innovative in some of the safety features that we have. The problem is that we've registered, I think, 170 complaints from about 36 people, but we have, 15,000 users for each service. So 30,000 users, there's probably some overlap there. So it's really hard to decide, what the best course of action is. We're trying to be as prudent as possible. The bottom line is that, look, everybody has said somebody's going to get hurt. And as soon as somebody does get significantly injured on one of those scooters, we're going to have a "we told you so" moment, and I'm prepared for that. But at the same time, we have a transportation option that closes the gap with transit, that closes the gap with non-car users, that closes the gap for trips that are it's too far to walk and too close to drive. And Tucson has a lot of scenarios in that. I mean, that's kind of why we have a streetcar, to go from campus to downtown. 20 years ago, that was the number one complaint. It's too far to walk, but it's too close to drive. So these scooters afford those opportunities, and if we can, apply some bicycle rules to the scooters, if we can hold people accountable for not being safety directly out of their pay accounts, and if we can do detachable helmets, I think that'll go a long way. The last thing we're going to work on is something called scooter spots, where we actually have a outlined area for scooter parking along different routes where the scooters are the most used. So I think those give us some options. Like it or not, these electric scooters, these go-peds, when they were first invented, they were moped/scooter go-peds, go-kart scooters, basically. These things, when they were first invented, became a new 21st century transportation option. And I think they'll actually be more prevalent in 50 to 60 years than cars will, despite what I know that's counterintuitive to what people think, and I love my truck, but that's just kind of that's the direction we're headed as a human race.
All right, end of the year, top story of the year for the Tucson City Council, and what will the big story be in 2020?
Well, the top story for 2020 hopefully will be that crime rate will be down by 50%.
Hmm. Is crime out of control in this town?
I wouldn't say that. Well, it's just not going down at the way I want it to. I want those numbers to be a little better. 2018, again, we're still leveled out. We're some stuff goes up, some stuff goes down, but nothing goes dramatically down. I'm really optimistic about the 2019 numbers. We won't get the final numbers until October of 2020, but the preliminary numbers come out in March and April.
But you think generally Tucson is a safe city. Can you generalize to that point?
For sure. Absolutely.
You can.
Yep.
What about this new director for the communications department? We'll be having her on the program. Came from Oklahoma City, that will be overseeing our emergency system.
I think she's going to be fabulous. Again, it's another great hire. This is the third or fourth time where we picked up somebody that's really, really got an impeccable reputation. I mean, Mike Ortega was the beginning of it, but I think Chief Magnus, Chief Ryan, Brent Dennis, those are all the people we've hired for major part, you know, for parks, fire, and police over the last 3-4 years, and they've come in and they've really tried to reinvent those departments and think outside the box and try to use innovative solutions, and I think that's what we're going to have here with 911.
When I had my exit interview with the mayor, Mayor Rothschild, I said the biggest thing I think under the 8-year term here has been the whole shakeup with the cabinet and some great people now running the city of Tucson, Paul Cunningham.
Well, I mean, you're as good as the – if you can't surround yourself with talent, you're not going to be successful. And this group is talented. I mean, there's really not there isn't a hole in the lineup right now. This is how I guess the best way to use a basketball analysis. We don't have a hole in the lineup. We don't have anybody who's incredibly weak in any position. We've had a few people had to leave for different reasons, and you know and some of them were really capable. That just some poor circumstances and other situations that were kind of out of our control. But for the most part, I like the team we put together, and I'm really confident in their ability to, again, find innovative solutions, but also research and implement new policies and techniques that makes our government more efficient and better service-oriented.
All right, Paul Cunningham, have a wonderful Christmas season and a happy new year to you. We'll talk with you in 2020.
Bill Buckmaster, thank you for having me on. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much, Paul Cunningham. Tucson City Councilman, newly reelected, representing Ward Number 2. When we come back, we'll talk about the Nova Homes Loans Arizona Bowl right after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
it's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $29.5 billion, with 173 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 51,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining me now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Ali Farhang, well-known Tucson attorney, minority owner of the Tucson Sugar Skulls indoor football team. Mr. Farhang, of course, is the founder and chairman of the board for the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, which would be staged New Year's Eve afternoon, featuring Georgia State University and the University of Wyoming. Ali, how are you, sir?
Mr. Buckmaster, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Do you like this matchup that you've got?
I love the matchup. And we worked really hard with negotiating with ESPN and the conferences to get precisely the matchup we wanted. Other than being two very good football teams, and I will tell you that Wyoming went into Missouri and beat them at their home field, and Georgia State went into Knoxville, Tennessee, and beat the University of Tennessee.
Wow.
So the winner of this game could rightfully say they're the third best team in the SEC. So other than being great games, they're going to bring a lot of fans. Wyoming sold out of all their tickets in 3 days. Georgia State is still selling their tickets. We look for a really festive and energetic atmosphere at the tailgate and at University of Arizona Stadium on December 31st, and thereafter at the University of Arizona Bull Bash, where we finally, you know, there's two questions, Bill, that people always ask in Tucson. The first question is it going to rain? And the second question is, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? Well, we answered that second question for everybody. So we're going to have our own Times Square, drop a taco, lots of festivities for all the whole family in downtown Tucson on December 31st. And, you know, I really believe that a community that celebrates together thrives together. And this game, the events around it, really displays the best of us. It shows that we are a vibrant, energetic, and just hospitable community. So it really, I think, does a lot just outside of the context of a pigskin.
Well, I'm so glad you pushed for this bowl. I remember when I came to town in 1988, the Copper Bowl was just launching, and I went to some of the Copper Bowl games, and there were some pretty good games there. I remember Kansas State University came to town, practically filled one side of the stadium, but there were some good games, but then the Copper Bowl went away. There was no reason why Tucson, Arizona, Ali, shouldn't have a prominent bowl, and you've moved this thing now up in the bowl hierarchy. So you've got an afternoon setting on New Year's Eve. It's good. It's a good deal. You've got CBS Sports involved, and it's very good for the community.
Well, thank you, Bill. I mean, one of my jobs is to make this an enduring and sustainable tradition in Tucson, where people feel like they need to be out there, because this game and the events around it is about us, it's by us, and it's for us. Nobody owns this. We own it as a community. And, you know, you said it, like, this is one of those things where, you know, we have a game where all net proceeds go to local charities, you know, and we're the only bowl game that does that in the country.
Really?
And a lot of the bowl games now, if you watch TV, it's all about TV programming. We're about much more than TV programming. We're about the community, about showing the best. And if you think about it, 6 years ago, you know, we had lost baseball, and I think that Tucson, frankly, lost a little bit of its soul when baseball left.
Yeah.
And then since that time, we brought the bowl game back. We made it more of a community event for the community. And then now we have professional soccer. We have the Roadrunners with hockey. We have the Tucson Sugar Skulls, a professional football team. And I'm sure I'm leaving. You know, we have the ice rink downtown looks better than it's ever looked before. I like to believe part of the tapestry of our community and its the vibrant nature of it, and you know, Sun Corridor as your sponsor, attracting businesses and other communities to come to Tucson. I feel like, you know, this game is part of it. So I encourage everybody to come to the game and celebrate together. And, you know, if it looks great on TV, we control the time of day to the game. The sun will always be out during this game because that's one of the best attributes of our community.
Yeah.
So come out to the game, fill the stands, and, you know, people have noticed what this game looks like compared to other bowl games that, again, are just, frankly, TV programming.
And you've got so many events. It's so much family stuff planned. You've got the, you know, the special New Year's Eve festivities after the game. And it's really, this is a true community get-together, tailgate before the game, then the game, then after the game downtown. You got all the bases covered this year, Ollie.
Thank you. You know, the tailgate is, you know, I think last year we had our game, it was at 11. And we really wanted it on a Saturday, and I think that we paid the price a little bit. You know, we continue to learn. Our first game was at 6 o'clock, so we're like, I asked people, well, can we do better? It's like, well, make sure the sun's up. Done. Last year, you know, the tailgate wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as big because it was early in the morning, and, you know, it's colder earlier in the morning. But now we have the game at 2:30, so the tailgate starts at 10 a.m., but, it, you know, really people start coming in at noon. If you own a business, hey, let them have a half a day off. Let them go to the festivities. We'll have bands. There'll be a charitable village. You'll see all of the different charities that are part of our community represented there. It'll be a lot of fun. You know, everything else that goes with the tailgate, great food, great, you know, soda pops, alcoholic beverages, whatever your preference is. And then 2:30, we kick off with the game. We have a great game. And then, you know, take the party from the game downtown. And so there's a lot of things, you know, this is a family-friendly event. We really wanted to build something, again, that's a tradition. I want everybody in Tucson to feel like, what are we doing December 31st? The answer is we're going to the bowl game and to the New Year's Eve party after, and then we're going to plan our skiing or our family vacation around that. But
yeah,
if we're doing our job, really people need to feel like this is Tucson. This is Tucson's game. This is Tucson's event.
Yeah, and
it's about more than one person, Bill.
It's not just the corporate sponsors, which have been so great. I mean, Sun Corridor Inc. has been wonderful involved with this, all the corporate sponsors. But I'll tell you, it's the people that have really, really got in the trenches here and made this thing possible. And I'm just wondering, where do you go from here? What does the future of this bowl look? As I mentioned early in the interview, you're moving up in the bowl hierarchy, and there are a lot of bowls, and this bowl is moving up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's continuing to build that tradition I'm talking about, where people really feel like it's their game and part of their identity and feel a need to be there. So, you know, you can't, I'm a football coach in my spare time at a local high school shop boy, so it's hard for me to say this, but it's about so much more than just football. And just continuing to get that message out. Next year, we start a new contract with the Mountain West Conference and the Mid-American Conference, and they have teams all in the Midwest, Miami of Ohio, Toledo, Central Michigan, et cetera, where we get to pick one of the top two or three teams from each conference. So we're going to have, where does it go? You're either getting, here's my football cliche of the day for you. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. There's no staying the same. So where do we go? We get better at every aspect of what we're doing. We get more sponsorships. We sell more tickets.
Yep.
We give more back to charity, which is near and dear to our title sponsor's heart, John Volpe at Nova Home Loans, who's one of the biggest philanthropists in anywhere. So that's what we do. We get better at every aspect. And, you know, it's, you know, if you've ever been a Tucson native and you've ever complained there's nothing to do in Tucson, well, open your door.
There you go.
Because I'm really going to have to think about revoking your Tucson card. Keep saying that, but you're not going anywhere.
Ollie Farhang, thank you so much. Good luck with the bowl, and thanks for everything you do in our community. I very much appreciate it.
I really appreciate you. Thank you for having me on your show, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Ali. This has been our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. I encourage you to check out their website, suncorridorinc.com. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by Silver City. If you've got some time off over the holidays, how about a road trip, 3-hour drive from Tucson to a beautiful area of the southwestern part of the United States, specifically the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Yvette Jackson was recently selected to serve as the executive director of Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health Arizona. Dr. Jackson has been with Devereaux Arizona for more than 2 decades, most recently its assistant executive director. She now oversees the care and treatment of more than 4,500 children and adolescents each year who are living with emotional, behavioral, and cognitive differences. She also manages Devereaux's Arizona Adolescent Health and Wellness Clinic, a specialty outpatient clinic providing personal care to teens and young adults
First of all, Dr. Jackson, Yvette, congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Well, it's great to see you again. Not only congratulations in order as moving up in the organization to executive director, but also now it's Dr. Jackson, which congratulations there. You've got a large footprint, Devereaux, in Arizona. A little bit about that footprint and some of the history. This is a very storied organization that goes back a long way.
It does. Our organization started in 1912 by a woman named Helena Devereaux, hence our name. She was just a pioneer in special education. She believed that every single person could learn and could have a fulfilled life. Back then, that wasn't super popular or believed. They put people in institutions and kind of let them live out the duration of their life in that way. And so she felt that they could have a different type of a path. And so our organization started with her, and it's expanded since then. We're in 13 states. We employ 7,500 people across the United States. And it's just a really well-organized, well-run and organization I'm super proud to be a part of.
Ms. Devereaux was really ahead of her time in this area, wasn't she?
Absolutely. She was an absolute pioneer. And some of the concepts that Ms. Devereaux believed in and really founded this organization on are things that are very popular today. Individualized services, services where you see each person has a program, each child has their own unique path, each individual does. And so she figured that out a long time ago.
What about your own career path? Is this something that you had always aspired to be involved with?
I, from a very young age, always knew that I wanted to work with folks who are at risk, that people who were the underdog, if you will. I'm kind of one of those people that believes in the underdog and likes to see them succeed. So people who it looks like whatever path they were on, how are they ever going to get out of it? I've always been someone that really loves to see that person push through the unthinkable and make it happen. So I've always had that in me. And so I'm really fortunate to have found my way to do that as my living and my career.
You know, 4,500, as I mentioned in that introduction, 4,500 young people, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
That come through your program in 1 year. What benefits do they get out of it? How would you characterize the mission?
Sure. Well, we have a variety of services. So each service has its unique outcomes. So if you take, for example, our respite service, we have families that, have a someone who is in the behavioral health system and that's living at home with them, and they need to take a break too. They need some time to recharge, and so we offer those families an opportunity to recharge their batteries while they can be assured that their children are in a safe space and that they're having fun and that they are also learning some new skills. But they can take the time out to do some of the very basic things that families need to do, or they can go do something really important in their life. You think about us in the kind of general public, if you will, we all find ways to be able to get breaks, whether that's sending our kids off to the neighbors or having them go on a sleepover. For our respite families, our respite homes, we provide families that opportunity as well for kids who can't do some of those things. So that's one of the things that we do that we're really proud of.
Tell me, Yvette, about the brief intervention program. How does that work?
Yeah, so we have children who in our community who are have had multiple touches with the behavioral health community or child welfare mm-hmm. programs. And they come through that quite a bit. And what we do in that program is we take them for a very brief period of time and we wrap a team around them so that we can really take a deep dive into assessing what their needs are, whether that be around education, psychiatric, behavioral, emotional. And we come up with a really comprehensive plan for those youth so that those professionals who are wrapped around them, kind of we leave that service going, okay, here's what this child needs. Let's start there instead of each person kind of doing their own little assessment. We do it all in one fell swoop with a team of people, including psychiatrists and behavioral specialists, and we put a plan together that we think can work for this child.
There's a huge need for foster parents, correct? I mean,
correct.
I think if folks hear the numbers from you, it's pretty staggering how many people are in the system.
Yes, there
are. How many young folks are in the system?
Yes, we continue to have many, many children in the system who are needing foster care placements. While our community has done such a great job of, really trying to move that number in the right direction, those numbers remain well in the upper thousands, right, in terms of the mm-hmm. number of kids that need foster homes. We at Devereaux, we are doing therapeutic foster care, and we really need families that can take some of these children that have been through the foster care system for quite some time and provide them with a really unique therapeutic environment where they can really try to turn their lives around. These are kids who have been in the foster system or in other types of out-of-home placements for quite some time and really need a family that's going to commit to helping them with these behavioral and emotional issues in the family setting instead of in a facility.
So. Is the transient nature of Arizona, people coming and going, does that contribute to this foster care problem?
I think that there are a multitude of reasons.
Okay.
We deal with, substance use, that I think every community across the country deals with. We absolutely have families that just are struggling with just to make ends meet, and those things contribute to kids coming into the system. So what we're really trying to focus on as a community is to get a little upstream on that and really focus on the services we can provide that can prevent those removals for children.
What do you have planned now? I'm sure you've got your own mission statement lined up for the next 5 years or maybe longer. What would you like to tackle? What issue?
Well, we would really, like I said, getting upstream on some of these issues. Really, we're a behavioral health organization. How can we really focus on what we call social determinants of health?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things like poverty, like healthy food, eating healthy, getting into services earlier on before it becomes a crisis, providing people with things that really make your wellness, all those facets of wellness are, from top to bottom, things that are emotional wellness, physical wellness. These are the things that help us to be healthy as a community. So we at Devereaux are really expanding our purview from just behavior health, mental health into whole person healthcare, where we're really looking at what are all the elements of wellness and health and how can we be a contributor to that. So that's one aspect. There are multiple things around the use of technology and behavioral health, really trying to be innovative in our thinking, ensuring that we're also tapping into our community and filling gaps and meeting needs where we see them and where we feel we have the expertise to really focus in on.
Devereaux, Arizona has been growing then over the years, hasn't it?
We have.
Yeah.
We have.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, we're growing in both the major communities that we operate in, but primarily we're seeing a lot of our growth happening here in Pima County, where we are just adding more behavioral health services into our community where we're seeing those gaps. We have just purchased a new facility on Broadway where we're going to be expanding our bed capacity for that intervention program. And so we're really excited to just continue to fill the need. And so as we do that, we continue to grow and expand as we meet the needs of the community we live in.
How about more information? Devereaux, Arizona. DevereauxAZ.org?
Yes, if you want to find more information about our organization here in Arizona, it's DevereauxAZ.org, DevereauxAZ.org.
And probably if you're anywhere near close to spelling that through Google, it will come up. So
yes.
If you didn't get the exact spelling, you'll find it, I'm sure, through Google. The number for more information is 520-296-5551.
Yes, it is.
Dr. Jackson, thank you very much. Congratulations. Now Executive Director for Devereaux, Arizona. All the best to you.
Thank you.
And yours in this holiday season. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow on our Friday roundtable, we'll have a journalist roundtable panel talking about the top stories of the year here in Tucson. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of my engineer producer, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, thank you, Tom. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. See you tomorrow, 12:04 on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.